For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about guard. It's a new series. Proverbs 4:23 is kind of the theme verse. If you could put that verse up there real quick, please. I just want you to see this. Watch over. That word watch over means to guard or protect or block your heart with all diligence, with an intensity. The word diligence means to be intent with intensity on what it is to protect, block, or guard, or watch over your heart. That's your inner person, for from it flow the springs of life. Man, your version may say the issues of life. Do you realize the things that come from your heart are your issues of life? So much, over and over, we're going to see this in the next 3 weeks. What God says about guarding or protecting or blocking your heart with intensity, it's got to be on purpose. Because from your heart flows the issues of life. I mean, when you have issues in life, it can flow from the matter of your heart. And when you begin to get that, you'll say, man, what did I allow in? What took place where something got in there? And you come to realize, man, God in you, I can have peace. But man, something took place where I removed that guard from my heart. This is serious stuff. We're going to talk about this. And tonight's kind of the intro of where we're going for the next 2 weeks. But I want you to see this, man. I want you to understand this. Let's ask God to bless our time. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for every heart that is here tonight. God, I thank you for everyone who chooses to be here. God, I'm so grateful that they're here tonight. God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you that they have put aside their schedule to make this a priority tonight. Father, in that I'm asking that you would bless them. And God, I'm asking that you would speak to us tonight. And God, I'm asking that you challenge us tonight from your word. God, I come before you and ask that every eye in this place would see what you'd have us to see. God, we come with an ear ready to hear from you. And God, we come with a heart that's open to respond to what you say. And folks, I ask that you ask God tonight, right now. Say, God, speak to me tonight. God, I need to hear this tonight. God, I'm asking that you speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, you can open up to two places tonight. Genesis 3 is where we're going to start. John 17 is where we're going to get to. Genesis 3, put a marker in John 17. We'll get over there in a bit and flip to Genesis 3 right in the beginning. Come on. Awesome. And, you know, as we get into this, man, I want you to begin to really dissect the areas of your life where you know I need more protection in that area. I need to guard my heart in that area. I need to guard my mind. Again, I love this. The steadfast of mind. Like over and over talks about things that come in here and things that we allow into our mindset that then will seep into our hearts. And there's so much to what it is to guard. And man, I do, man, I want to challenge. Every time we open this, I want to be challenged. I want us to just to be challenged as we come into the presence of God, hearing from him and what he has to say from his word. And man, I want us to get this. So please come on. And I got some props here because we spend so much time in guarding different areas and different parts of our worlds and our lives and our physical body. Obviously, we have the almighty helmet. This is Seth's helmet. He doesn't even wear the helmet. I don't know. I snowboard and ski with this dude, and he's now doing like 360 flips, upside down, backward, crazy stuff, and I'm just a quiet skier now. Renee, if you're listening, I'm a safe, quiet skier. And here's Seth's helmet, which sits in his truck or his car. But we wear a helmet to guard our head. Is that right? So we look at this and we spend so much time in guarding. Here is some skin guard, man. It's ultra guard, it says, from Coppertone. And it's that 50 so that UV rays can't destroy our skin. We spend a lot on that. And then we come to a place that we have our eyes that we protect from the UV rays. And we wear these shades for the whole purpose to protect our eyes and to probably look pretty cool, which is great. And then we have a mouth guard for the football players and the even wrestlers and different people into some serious contact sports where they say, listen, protect your teeth. It's called a mouth guard, right? And then you come to this right here where we even have engine protector, where we work hard to wax our cars and do what's necessary to protect our cars and different. I mean, look at all the different ways, seriously, that we guard and protect the outside. And then we have this. Here, which is new, by the way, because honestly, someone asked me, like, you know, I could go home and get one of those, and I'm like, I'd rather you not. Thank you for that. But we do spend and we take so much time in guarding and protecting our outsides. But honestly, like a serious question, how much time and how much intensity and on purpose do we take to guard that which is most important? Your issues of life don't flow from your skin or from your eyes. It flows from the inside, man. So seriously, how much thought have you put into what it is to guard that which is most important? That which the issues of life come from. That which who you really are. How much time have you honestly took to protect and to guard your mind and your heart? Especially when you know. Especially when you understand that Christ has told us to go into the world, the dark place where the enemy dwells. Listen, a fireman runs into the fire, runs into that place that's on fire, but he is protected. He knows where he's going. He doesn't just run in with no protection. A fireman gets geared up, he protects, he runs in the middle of fire. He knows he's going in the middle of a fire, so he takes protection with him. The SWAT team member, they know they're running in the middle of a danger zone, or they're going into a drug house, or going somewhere where it could be very dangerous. They gear up, man. They put on the plate. They put on the helmet. They put on the shoes, whatever it takes to go in that house. But they take protective gear because they know they're going in somewhere that on a potential danger. You see, the soldiers all dressed up in their gear, knowing they're going on the battlefield, knowing they're going out to war. It would be awful if you see all these soldiers going out and there's a dude in shorts and like a t-shirt ready to go. Like, dude, you don't fit. What are you doing? And they're charging, man. They're in. They're running in. They're as guarded as they can be. They're protected. Folks, when you come to a place to realize that we are in a war zone as believers, you recognize that Jesus Christ has called you to go onto the battlefield. How much have you done to protect your heart and your mind when you jump in the midst of the battlefield? John 8 says this. I want to show you some things here. And these are familiar scriptures tonight, but sometimes to be reminded of different things, to realize, man, we are charged to go into this. We better know what we're up against. You are aware of your father, the devil. And you, look at what he says. Now listen, when you understand, this is Jesus speaking to those who are unbelievers. And there's only two teams, man. There's God's side and there's the enemy's side. There's only two teams. One's the Father of God. One is God as our Father. Or the other one, Satan is the Father. That's it. There's no middle ground. Two teams says this. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. Listen to what he says. This is Jesus speaking. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Listen, this is what Jesus says about Satan, who is the devil, who is the evil one, who is our adversary, who is called the roaring lion. And you understand that he is a liar and he is a deceiver. When you realize that Jesus sends us into the middle of the world, in the middle of darkness, the place where he dwells and domains, we've got to be aware that he is the greatest deceiver of all time. And he goes around, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or pounce on. That's what that means. You ever see a lion pounce? That's what it's talking about. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He's ready to bang, man. He's ready to pounce at any moment to see who he can devour. Let's go to the first devouring in Genesis 3, please. Because I want you to see this. When you understand that we are on his turf, when you really get that we are on his turf, maybe we'll protect ourselves a little better. Honestly, think about that. When you realize, man, he is the greatest deceiver and he is the greatest liar of all, and you're going right into his camp, how do you prepare yourself against his lies? When you realize he's just waiting for you to come into his camp because he's going to pounce on you when you get there, what are you going to do? How have you protected yourself? How have you guarded yourself? When you come, and that's funny, in worship, I wrote these three words down. They came to my heart in worship. Look for, expect, protect. When you know you're going into his turf, you have to look for his attacks. You've got to expect him to attack. That's his nature. You're going to expect, when you're on his turf, you're going to be lied to. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be trying to be deceived. He's going to present all kinds of things to you that are nothing but lies. And you've got to look for that. More than that, just look for it. You've got to expect it. Listen, when I was on the street crimes unit, it's a two-man team, man, an amazing undercover team. Man, we would do search warrants, but part of me, if I was going for the search warrant, I would have to know what is in that house. So I would do you know, recon on this house, and I would watch this house for hours and hours, days, it could be weeks and weeks, waiting for that shipment, but I would know everything about the house. I would know which way the door hits. If I'm going to hit the door, I want to know which way it swings. I want to know how many windows are in the house. I want to know how many exits are in the house where they're going to jump out. I want to know if they have a dog in that house. I want to know where the dope is. I want to know everything about, I want to know how many people are in that house. So the day that we're going to hit it, I'll sit on that house for hours and hours and hours, taking count who goes in, who goes out, how many are in there, is the dog home, which doors to crash, where's the best place to hit. So I would know when I'm going in there, I would know what to expect. Gang, how much time do we spend really kind of figuring out our enemy? And to know what to look for, to know what to expect, so that you can come to a place to protect. Man, look at this. This is the first devouring right here. Genesis 3 says this. Now the serpent was more crafty. That word crafty, it means he, have you ever seen those, you ever meet somebody who's got them beady eyes and you just know, they're looking on how they can get one over on me. He's the greatest deceiver. Crafty means to deceive. Now the serpent was more craftier. He looked to deceive than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And then, you know, he comes to the woman. You know this story. The God has told Adam and Eve, who he created in absolute perfection. You got to remember something. Adam and Eve were in an absolute place of perfection. There was no wrong. There was no sin. There was no issues. Zero issues. And the enemy gets to him. That's how good he is, folks. Don't ever underestimate the enemy. That's how good he is. In the absolute place of great perfection. And there was only two people on the earth. That was it. And he knew how to get to him. God said, don't touch the tree, don't eat from the tree, it's off limits. One tree, you got the whole garden, man, you got the best fruit, everything is perfect, just don't eat from that tree. So the enemy gets to Eve, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and what did he do? He came to a place, and he lied, and he deceived Eve. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit, and ate. Just because something looks good, smells good, tastes good, and seems good, doesn't make it good. Again, you got to understand who you're up against, man. He is the greatest deceiver. You got Adam and Eve in absolute perfection, a place of no wrong. The enemy shows up and does what he does. He lies. You know what the thing is? God told them, don't do this. Anything else, just not this. You know what he got? You know what he did then, the very first time, and what he still does today, is gets people to question God's truth. Did he really mean that? Well, that's what he said 2,000 years ago. But is it relevant today? Can't. It's got to change. That's not really what it meant. If you want to go deep in the Greek and Hebrew and Arabic, and you get all of this crazy, instead of you knowing what God said, and yet you allow the enemy to come in and twist and do anything necessary for you to question the truth of God. And they, listen, that was what he started with, and gang, that's what he's going to finish with. He does everything he can to question. If he can get you to question God's truth, then he wins. Because that's exactly what he did with Eve. Now look at this. I want you to see this. Verse 6, the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was delight to the eyes, that she was desirable to make one wise. She took its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband. Look what her man was, man. Look at where Adam was. Was right next to her. She took it, ate it, handed it to her husband. And what does he do? He eats. When you get this picture, you realize, man, the enemy went after Eve, but Adam's just standing right by letting this whole thing take place. What happened to look for, expect, protect? What happened to Adam saying, wait a minute, Eve, no. Listen, our Father, God said, no. Our Creator, the one who's given us everything, this tree's great, that tree's great, and this fruit's amazing. Look at this. Just don't touch that one. Eve, we're not supposed to touch that one. No, he stands there, takes from his wife and eats and walks in disobedience. Now please see this. Verse 8 says this. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what happens when you allow the enemy to come in and trick you and deceive you and lie to you, question God's truth, and then we walk in a place of disobedience and sin? Man, it just as it did here in the first one, where he went after Adam and Eve to devour them, and he deceived them, and he lied to them, just like Jesus said. It caused them to be distant from God. Man, I tell you what, I'm going over this. And man, when I read this account, man, I stop and say, God, is there anything in me that's caused a difference between us? Is there anything in me, sin or disobedience, that's caused distance between you and me? That's completely on me. Because the enemy will come in, and his purpose is to get you distant from God. When you realize, man, sin has a way of darkening, sin has a way of being a blockade, sin has a way of getting between you and God. And man, we have to look for that. We have to expect that. We have to protect that. That's just not going to happen. Come on, look at this. Then the Lord, verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard a sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man, look at this. Gang, when you understand the plot of the enemy, when you understand this in relationships, this is the first relationship on the planet, the first marriage on the planet. You know what sin did to them? They went right into blaming one another. First thing they did, they hid themselves because they felt dirty before God because they disobeyed God. They knew they walked in sin. And then when God brings them to account, they blame each other. It's amazing because Adam blames Eve, and then Eve blames God. Now look at this. Verse 12, the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I ate. Now the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Look at Adam blames God, Adam blames Eve, and then Eve blames Satan. Isn't it so easy just to blame Satan for all your troubles to go away? Well, the devil made me do it. How many times did you hear that one? Well, that's from the very first sin. The devil made me do it. That's from the very first excuse. Man, when you understand, when you get to a place to realize who you're messing with in the enemy, and that this is his domain, that you are on his grounds, we need to seriously take protection and come to a place to guard our hearts and our minds, and come to a place, the reality of what that is when you go into the enemy's territory and you're on his turf, and we're supposed to be on his turf. Man, when you see this, come on. 1 John 5:19 says this. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of how much the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Now look at this. Who is the image of God? Look at what it says here. In the world, we understand that the enemy, he is the power of the evil one. The world is in the power of the evil one. Now look at this. In whose case? The God of this world, that's the enemy, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Ephesians 2:2 says that he is the prince and power of the air. You read Ephesians 6 when it talks about the armor and being guarded. It talks about the principalities and the rulers of the darkness that's in this world. You get to understand, man, this is his domain. We are in his, since sin showed up, man, this has been his world. This has been his domain. And listen, that's not to freak you out. That's not to say, well, again, well, I guess it's just hopeless. No, the Bible says, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Jesus himself said, listen, in me you're going to have peace. In the world you're going to have issues, but be of good cheer. I've taken care of the world. It's amazing when you really understand the power of God in you through the Holy Spirit and that authority that God gives you in the name of Jesus. We're not to come to a place to fear the enemy, fear Satan or demons. We're coming to a place to understand their power, their authority, and their place. Matter of fact, Jesus, we're going to get to this. Jesus sends us right in the middle of it. That's amazing. When you understand what it is, when you realize you are on His grounds, what have you done to protect yourself? Or unfortunately, I think the church so much, or people so much, have gone into a place of retreat. I don't want to be in that dark place. I don't want to go into the world. I don't want to be on His turf. I don't want to. Wouldn't it be awful if the fireman said, I don't want to go in the fire. I'm going to sit right in my truck. I'm good. Got spot. I'm fine. What would it be if the SWAT team member said, man, I'm not going in that house. Yeah, you are. Go. What if the soldier said, man, I'm not going. And you and I as believers, what a bummer it would be to say, nah, I'm not going in there. I'm not going on His turf. We're going to see so clearly that Jesus Christ Himself gives us a charge to get in His turf. That's amazing. So when you know that charge, you have to take measures to protect yourself. You have to. You look for, expect, and you protect. Number two to this is you need to be aware of His influence, folks. You have to be aware of His influence. When you understand, man, Colossians 1:13 says that He has rescued us. God has rescued us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of it. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. There is a transfer. This is aggressive, man. There's a transfer. There's a rescue mission that took place. And He rescued us from the domain of darkness. Now get this. Transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So what? That He could send us right back into that sphere to be able to bring people out. Man, this is amazing when you see this. Don't miss this. When you get this, you're going to put on the armor. When you get this, you're going to protect your mind and your heart. Tonight is all about this. You've got to realize what we're called to. You've got to realize we're going into a place that the enemy reigns. We're going into a place that's His ground, folks. It's a serious place. And then you come to grips to recognize, man, His influence in this world is widespread and it's everywhere. Come on. 1 John 2:16 says this, for all that is in the world, again, that's that dark place, that's the sphere of the enemy. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And we know who is in charge of the world. It's the enemy. Gang, are you aware of His influence? Yeah, He influences everything. You can't not be aware of His influence on TV or Hollywood or movies or music. King, some of that stuff is just horrible. The language, the immorality that they just now are just spitting out like it's XXX rated is now sitting in our theaters today. Now. And for people of faith to think that they can go sit in that theater and watch 50 Shades of Crap and think that that's their prerogative and it's okay and don't... You've missed it. You've completely, totally missed the atmosphere that the enemy has set up or the influence that the enemy has just spit out there when it comes to your television. It comes to the music. It comes. Listen, there's so many good, amazing police cop, bad guy, done, good guy wins that I can't wait to see until I see that it's R and there's just, 100 F-bombs. Can't go. Wouldn't go. No way. I'm not going to subject myself. I'm not going to walk in that theater. Gang, when you understand that the enemy has a serious influence in politics, in people, in Hollywood, in music, in schools, in churches, maybe you go in with your eyes opened to look for, so much more look for, but expect. Even going beyond expecting, but then coming to a place to protect yourself because you know that His influence, He is the prince and power of the air. You'll go into this expecting, yeah, man, we are in His realm and it's going to be ugly. And man, he will do everything in his power to try to lie and deceive. What happens? What happens when the enemy lies? Comes to a place to spit his influence to the politicians. Spit his influence. Again, in Ephesians 6, we're not battling against flesh and blood. We're battling against a serious enemy and Satan who has control of this atmosphere. When you get that, folks, you get to rearrange your mindset a little bit. What happens? When the first trick that he pulled with Adam and Eve, and try to get them to question truth. What happens when he does that today? It's his first trick, and it's a trick that he'll use all the way to the end, is to try to get mankind to question the truth of God. Well, did God really say that? You look at the immorality, you look at the sex on TV, you look at the same-sex marriage that they're pushing right now, and people actually think, well, that's a 2,000-year-old book, man. I don't know if that's really valid anymore. Just happened, folks. It just happened. Boom. He just got you to question truth. Well, it's a person's prerogative. He just got you to question truth. Well, I know I can watch stuff that they're having sex on a TV and in the movies. It's not going to... He just got you to question truth. Gang, when you really understand, when you really get that Jesus made it abundantly clear the enemy's territory. And you need to be very aware of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride. He said, that is the world. And you need to be aware of it. Because look at this, John 17, please. Gang, are you sensitive to these things? Seriously, are you sensitive? That when you hear something that you know just doesn't line up with God's truth, does it just do something on the inside? When you know that there's something that just doesn't line up, there's something that comes across the TV, there's something that you see and it's just like, that's just not right. Let me ask you a serious question. Have you been honestly desensitized to moral issues? Have you been desensitized to filthy, profane language? Have you been desensitized to the filth that's on TV? Listen, I have a TV. I like TV. I like the cop shows. I love them. But what happens when you know that, man, that just doesn't bother me anymore? Gang, that's not right. That's not right. Now look at this. When you get this, I want you to see this because, and I'm talking to the church, man, I'm talking to the believers tonight, that you come to a place to realize, and we covered this a couple weeks ago on Saturday night. We didn't even cover it on Sunday because Wes was preaching. But I want you to hear this again tonight. John 17. And when you understand John 17, when you realize that this is Jesus, Son of the living God, crying out to his Father, this is his prayer to Dad for us. And when you realize that this is ours, man, this is the night before his crucifixion. He is crying this prayer out to the Father, and this is ours, just hours before he gets betrayed, before he gets arrested, and just hours before he's hung on a cross. And it's amazing to me that in this moment, anything could have been on his mind. What would you be crying out when you know? Man, it was on purpose. He knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew Judas was on target. He knew that he was going to betray him. He knew he was going to get arrested. He knew he was going to get beaten. He knew all the rest were going to betray him. He knew that he was going to get flogged and ripped and shredded and shamed and naked and hang on a cross. He knew that God's wrath was going to be poured out on him. So it wouldn't have. He knew all this. And yet in his last eve, man, he is on his face. And what's recorded for us is that Jesus is praying for you and he is praying for me just hours before he knows about what's to take place. And you look at this in verse 13 and he says this, but now I come to you and these things I speak in the world's so that they may have joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. When you get this, when you come to Christ, when you come to terms with your sin and you recognize I'm desperately, hopelessly lost without Jesus. I'm on the wrong team. I've been lied to. I've been deceived. I've walked in a way that isn't right. But I thought it was okay because I've been lied to. Man, I have been deceived. But when your eyes are open to the truth and you realize, man, my sin has separated me from God, but God has such an incredible love for me that He would send His Son to die on a cross for me. And that was payment for my sin. That was separating me from Him. And in that I can have everlasting and eternal life. When your eyes are open to that truth, everything changes. In that moment, you come to a place that you are no longer of this world. There is a switch that takes place. Now look at this. This is what He says in verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. This is Jesus praying for us. Father, they're not of this world. But listen, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Look what He says, verse 15. But to keep them from the evil one. Listen to what He says. Listen, God, I'm not asking you to take them out. They're not of this world. Just as I'm not of this world, they're going to be hated just like I'm hated. And I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but God, I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. Look what He says in this. This is amazing. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them in your truth. What's that? For your word is truth. Set them apart. What makes us different from the world is this, the truth of God's word. And when the enemy can come in and deceive you to begin to question truth, you've missed Jesus' prayer. You've missed John 17, 17. Sanctify them, set them apart in the truth, for your word is truth. And look at 18, this is intense. He says this, as you sent me into the world. He just said, they are not of this world, but I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking that you protect them from the evil one. And he goes in and says this in verse 18, as you sent me into this world, look at it, I also have sent them. Where? To the world. I mean, gang, we just spent 80% of this message talking about the enemy's turf. And Jesus just said to the Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of their turf, but while they're on His turf, protect them. Matter of fact, just as you've sent me, the Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Just as you sent me, I have sent them. Gang, that's a serious charge. And when you understand that charge, and you understand that the SWAT team is charged to go into that house and sent, the fireman is charged and gears up and sent into that burning building. And the soldiers are charged and they are sent onto the battlefield. They all have protective gear on. Jesus, our King, our Savior, and our Lord, just sent us to the lost, dying, hurt, broken, hopeless world. So in that, man, when you know that our charge comes from our King to go right in the middle of the enemy's turf, how are you protected? Honestly, just bow your heads for a minute, please. How is it that you have protected yourself? Because if you don't guard your heart and your mind, if you don't understand the seriousness of this and you don't understand what it is to honestly be on the enemy's turf and being sent there, and you don't take measures to guard after over and over and over through Scripture, Jesus tells us, God tells us to guard your heart, to guard your mind. To know the schemes of the enemy, to know his devices, to know that he will try to cause you to question God's truth. He will try to desensitize you to immorality. to try to get you to be soaked into popular view, public view, political view. Seriously, where are you tonight? Every time we get together, gang, I want to encourage, I want to build, and I want to challenge. We're not here just to check a box. I mean, we're not here to play church. We're here before the living God, that He may speak into our lives, and in that there's encouragement, and in that there's hope, in that there's a challenge. I'm asking you, and you're one-on-one, man, you're person-to-person. Have you been desensitized? The things of this world. Have you not done what's necessary, knowing that you have just been charged to go in to the enemy's turf so that you may be light, so that you may win the lost, so that you may be one who drags one out of the fiery burning buildings, that you may be one who goes in and goes into that battle and drags an innocent person out. Maybe you be the one who goes in to the enemy's turf. And you're the one who speaks life and light and hope. You're the one who presents the gospel message to one who's lost, hurting and broken. And then Jesus comes in and rescues them from the domain of darkness. And there is a transfer that takes place into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Are you on His turf on purpose? Not scared, not shying away, not intimidated. For greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. The Bible says you resist Him, submit yourself to God, humble yourselves, submit Him, and He will flee. Gang, we do have the authority. We do have the victory. Jesus said, man, protect him from the evil one. He's given us the weapons to be able to do that. First message, I guess the question is, have you let your guard down? Where is your moral compass? Where is your understanding of God's truth? I'm telling you, man, when you are up against the enemy, he is the greatest liar, deceiver of all. If he can get to Adam and Eve in a place of absolute perfection, what about us? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Gang, it comes to a place to know His word, that that is a lamp to my feet. How is it that I won't stumble? It's His word. How will I know truth? When do I know He's going to try to deceive me? Because of God's truth, because of the word. If anything's contrary to the word, you need to be careful. Father, I pray for today. I pray for tonight, God, that God, you show us. Show us the areas of our life, God, that we've let our guard down. God, I want this church to be charged to go into the enemy territory. God, I want us on a one-on-one basis at home, one-on-one basis at work, on our streets, in our neighborhood, in this community, in this region. God, that we would know that we have been charged to go into this land, God, and that we would be ready and that we would be prepared for this, God. God, you have such a love for people. Father, you have done everything necessary for man to come to you. And God, you've called the church to be that place, to be that light. God, you've called us to be on that hill for all to see. And God, you've given us a charge to go in the midst of the enemy's turf, God. And we do it looking for and expecting his attacks, knowing his lies, knowing he's a deceiver, standing on the truth. God, that we would protect ourselves and guard ourselves. Every corner, God. Every inch, God. That we protect ourselves. God, I pray for us that we would have an urgency. Father, an urgency for those who are lost. God, an urgency for those on our street, for those that we work with. An urgency, God, for those who we live with. And urgency, God, in those in our own families, and our relatives. God, they would come to know you in a very real way. But Jesus, you've given us everything we need. You've equipped us to go into the world to win this world. Father, I pray that we would take measures to protect ourselves, God. We would take measures, understanding that it is the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension that guards our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God, we would walk in a confidence. We would walk in a boldness, God. We would walk in great joy. We'd walk in great peace. And God, in that peace, it would be a guard. It would protect. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for us here tonight. Father, by your Holy Spirit, you've charged us tonight, knowing that there is great purpose in this world for us as believers, us who have understood. Man, you know what? Everyone just look at me just for a minute, please. So if you're here tonight and you honestly know Christ as Savior and your Lord, then you have to know the alternative is damnation for an eternity. If you honestly know Jesus Christ, you have to know both sides. I was saved from. If someone says, are you saved? The answer is from what? Well, I am saved from the wrath of God. I am saved from damnation of eternity in a hell. I am saved from the pit of fire. That I am saved from that because of Jesus Christ. And when you truly are born again and you are saved, you know what you are saved from. You know the greatest rescue mission of all time was that Jesus came to pull you out. If you really know that, why wouldn't we want to do the same? Why wouldn't we want to be that light to someone who is hurting and broken, for someone who has an eternity of damnation? We don't ever cloud your mind on this, man. There's only two teams. There's heaven for an eternity. There's hell for an eternity. And gang, man, if we are a church that is going to win the lost, if we are a church that's going to impact this region, if we are a church that's going to change direction in high school students and college students and marriages, that we have got to be on target to realize that there are only two. One, eternity in heaven. One, eternity in hell. And we've got to do everything we can, folks, to live in such a way that we are urgent for the lost, because we understand. We know what Jesus did for me. And Jesus has the desire for all to be saved, that you and I have to come to a place when we know what we have been saved from, where's the urgency for those who are not saved? When you know the alternative route, and then you see a clearer picture of why Jesus says, I'm not asking you to take them out, I'm asking you to send them in. The charge has already been there. Jesus says, I have sent them in. It's already there. Amen. I want this region for Jesus. I do. I want marriages in this region never be the same, because that can be some of the greatest light. When a husband and wife walking away, there's love, joy, and peace, and people looking at us saying, what is up with your marriage, man? It's Jesus, and this is the deal. I want to see Jesus move through us by His Holy Spirit, pinpointing us to individuals who are lost and broken and without Christ. I want Believers Chapel to do a work, folks, in this area and in this region. We are urgent for the lost. And in that, man, you've got to get on their turf. That's what Jesus was saying. But in that, we need to be guarded. Now, next week, the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what it is to be guarded. I had to spend time on this week to know what we're going into. Not blinded, not with our head in the sand, not with our thumbs in our mouths going, oh, woe is me, but with our gear guarded up, ready to do battle. That's the church, folks. That's the church. That's the ones Jesus sent. So tonight, man, as we leave this place, Brennan's going to sing one last song. And tonight, let's get it right. Tonight, please hear this, man. Tonight, if you have let your guard down, if you know the enemy has caused you to question truth, just as he did with Adam and Eve, if you know that you have allowed yourself to be demoralized, man, come to a place to not have allow things to go on around you that don't bother you anymore. You know that this is taking place. You know that you've let your guard down. Man, one moment, I'm telling you, gang, one moment of confession, one moment before Jesus changes everything. That's the moment between you and Him that you take the time during this song. Say, God, I've let my guard down in this area, and I need You to forgive me. God, I want to be sensitive to holiness and purity. God, I want to be sensitive. I want to see where the enemy has lied. I want to see the deception of the enemy. I want to see his influence in this world so I can counter it. I want to see, get this, please, get this. I want to see his influence in my life where I can be guarded against it. Gang, we are called to this region. We're in this region. We're called to this region. Come on. We need to gear up and be prepared to do what God is calling this church to do. Impact to be made. A serious impact for the kingdom of God.